Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. The following recording is from the annual Qalam Qiyam that is hosted here in Dallas, Texas, during the last few nights of the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, this year we held the gathering at the Roots Community Space. This annual Qiyam is an opportunity for people all around the Metroplex to come to one place physically and spend the night with our instructors and senior students from the Qalam Seminary and be led in prayers by them and listen to thoughts and reflections from the teachers at Qalam. We also open up this Qiyam to everyone worldwide by streaming it live over the internet. Alhamdulillah, this year we were able to record the talks, and so we are very happy to bring you these recordings in the form of a podcast so that inshallah you can listen to them, reflect upon them, and share them with family and friends. And lastly and finally, if you have benefited from Qalam's work, if you appreciate what we are doing at Qalam, then please go to supportqalam.com and be a part of the solution. Invest into your akhirah and have a share in sadaqah jariyah, a perpetual good, a continuous effort, inshallah, that will continue to benefit people for generations to come and will continue to fill your book of deeds till the day of judgment. Jazakumullahu khairan. Listen to the podcast. I hope and pray that it's a source of benefit. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. بدأت ببسم الله في القول أولا تبارك رحمن رحيما وموئلا وثنيت أن الحمد لله دائما وما ليس مبدوءا به أذم العلا وثلثت صلى الله ربي على الرضا محمدا المهدى إلى الناس مرسلا وعترته ثم الصحابة ثم من تلاهم على الإحسان بالخير وبلا وبعد فحبل الله فينا كتابه فجاهد به حبل العدا متحبلا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب صدق الله العظيم. One interesting point a person will realize and discover after reading the biographical entries of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum is often they would sit together and engage in some intriguing conversations. Sometimes they would say, let's sit down and refresh our faith. Sometimes they would say, let's remember the good old days when we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But one conversation that strikes me deeply at my heart is the conversation between a number of Sahaba who would ask one another, in your estimation, what is arja ayatin fil Quran? Which verse of the Qur'an instills the greatest amount of hope? Which verse of the Qur'an makes you so hopeful in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no other verse can do the same for you? So you'll find various opinions. At times Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he would reply by saying that I find hope in the conversation of Ibrahim alayhi salam with his Lord. You'll find Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma say that I find hope in the verse of the Qur'an, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That, O my servants, never be despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. That although you're afflicted by many difficulties, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons many of your shortcomings. But in my humble estimation, one of the most hope-instilling verses is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عَنِّي. That whenever my slaves ask about me, then let them know, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am here. Whenever a person goes through a very troubling situation, his mother, her father, will always be there to say, you know what, don't worry my daughter, don't worry my son, I'm right next to you. And one of the words in Arabic that's used to describe a supplication, used to describe our conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is munajah. Munajah. What does munajah mean? Najah yunaji in Arabic is when you have a huddled whisper. Someone you want to confide a very close and dear secret to. when you want to speak to someone in confidence, you feel like you don't want to tell anybody else. So our conversations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not one that we adopt with our friends, with our parents. It's much more closer. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to us than our jugular veins. So the one thing that I feel during the month of Ramadan, I need to inculcate in my life, is I need to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for me. You know, the suicide rate in America right now is roughly 45,000 people a year. And that's an astronomically high number. And that is considered the 10th leading cause of death in America. Now, one of the reasons why this happens, according to experts, is people are so depressed. People feel so alone. When you exclude God, Allah, from the equation, no matter what, a point in time in your life you'll come across where you are alone. Because not everyone can be with you at every moment. But when a person has Allah in his or her life, they can always remember that maybe no one is supporting me. Maybe my father may not care about my struggles. My teacher may not appreciate what I'm going through. My mom may not be able to relate with me. That person can always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what's most important. You know, Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahimahullah ta'ala, who was a 10th century scholar from Egypt, and we all know about Egypt, right? MashaAllah, such a beautiful place where many scholars have graduated and they've produced a number of, you know, fascinating works. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all the scholars from Egypt.
Ameen.
Ameen. Particularly our sheikh over here, Ustaz Abdul Rahman Murphy, MashaAllah.
Half Egyptian,
MashaAllah. Nonetheless, Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahimahullah ta'ala, he gives a very fascinating analogy. He says, خَمْسُ خِصَالٍ فِي الْأَطْفَالِ لَوْ كَانَتْ فِي الْكِبَارِ مَعَ رَبِّهِمْ لَكَانُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ. That when you see youngsters, children, they have five qualities that if those same qualities were found in grown-ups, they, in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, could be the sage of the age. They can become saints. They can be the most righteous of people. What are these five qualities? The first quality is, لَا يَهْتَمُّونَ بِالرِّزْقِ. That children, they're never concerned about their sustenance, right? You never see a child complain that, you know what, I got to leave school early, I got to go to my job, who's going to pay the bills, right? No kid's going to say that, obviously, right? He knows when he goes home, his dad or his mom's going to have the food waiting for him or her. Number two, إِذَا مَرِضُوا لَا يَشْكُونَ عَنِ الْخَالِقِ. That when a child gets sick, he or she never complains that, oh God, why have you done this to me? Rather, he'll just cry or say that, Mom, give me some medicine. They never complain to their about their Lord. You know, it's very interesting about the word shikwa. We are supposed to complain to our Lord. We're not supposed to complain about our Lord. That's a very important distinction that we make. A third quality of children that us as grown-ups we can adopt is وَإِذَا خَافُوا جَرَّتْ عُيُونُهُمْ بِالدُّمُوعِ. That whenever a child is scared, whenever a child fears for his safety, he begins to cry, right? The child gets in trouble, comes home, mom or dad's waiting with the chappal, waiting with like a nice slipper. The child's gonna cry even before he enters the home because he knows what's coming his way, right? So Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahimahullah ta'ala, he's explaining to us that we should constantly be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although He's very merciful, He also expects us to reciprocate the love that He shows us. So whenever we fall on our knees and we can't move forward, we have to cry and show to Allah that, you know what, Ya Allah, just like children cry when they fear, Ya Allah, I don't fear you like a bully. I don't fear you like an enemy. Rather, I'm aware of your love and mercy upon me, and I'm crying for that purpose. Another quality, subhanAllah, of children is وَيَأْكُلُونَ مُجْتَمِعِينَ. They all eat together. You won't find a child in the cafeteria saying, you know what, all this food is mine. Rather, they love sharing. And that's like intrinsically, you know, part of the nature of children. And a final quality of children is whenever they, you know, get into an argument. وَإِذَا تَخَاصَمُوا تَسَارَعُوا إِلَى الصُّلْحِ. That if they ever argue, if they ever get into a fight, immediately they turn to one another and they say, you know what, let's reconcile. We can't carry on doing this anymore. And these are certain qualities we need to adopt in our lives. But the one particular quality that I feel is very important, subhanAllah, is this quality that وَإِذَا خَافُوا جَرَّتْ عُيُونُهُم بِالدُّمُوعِ, that whenever they feel down, they begin to cry. You know, there's one story that I heard from one of the shuyukh. They talk about a highly qualified physician from Pakistan. He obviously was so high up in the rank among doctors that in order to get an appointment with him, you would have to book months in advance. So once he was called for a very special treatment, and they actually flew him in to that town just so that he could come. But as he was going there, there was a thunderstorm, so the pilot had to go for an emergency landing. So they landed, it was obviously an emergency landing, so they were still 3 hours away from the final destination. Now what happens, the doctor's like, look, they flew me in, I need to be there by this time, and I'm going to be late. So the pilot said, look, we can't fix the plane, the storm is way too bad, we can't carry on. Why don't you just get a taxi or get a car and drive, it's only 3 hours away. He's like, all right, fine, you know what, let me do it, I'll be late, but let me not be too late. He gets into his car, they start driving. But as he's driving, the storm gets even worse. So not only are they not able to fly, they're not even able to drive. To the point that they were forced to park in a nearby village and ask someone in the town to give them shelter. So they knock on the door and they say, you know what, we're stranded outside, can we just stay over here? So an elderly woman opens the door. And when she opens the door, she asks them, can I help you? They explain what had happened, and she says, you know what, come inside, it's perfectly fine. They come, they sit, they observe the woman's activities. She's obviously praying salah, but beside her was a very clearly unhealthy child. You can tell the child was ill. When the woman finished her prayer, like a grandmother, she was speaking to her guests and said that, look, I can see that you guys are travelers, but can I just complain and pour my heart out to you? And the doctor, he's like, you know what, I have time, might as well just listen, use my time productively. And subhanAllah, she says, you know what, the child next to me, it's my grandson. Or was it her granddaughter? But it's my grandchild. And my grandchild's been sick for many months. And there's only one specialist in Pakistan right now who can actually treat the child. And unfortunately, we've tried contacting the doctor, but his schedule doesn't permit, and we can't even afford the treatment. You know what? If you ever have the opportunity, please make dua. So the doctor asks, what's the name of the specialist? I would like to know his name. And he's like, she says, his name is Dr. Inash. And now the doctor begins to cry. The doctor is crying and crying and crying. So the grandmother's a bit taken aback that, you know, why you're so upset? And he obviously replies, my name is Inash. I'm Dr. Inash. And at that moment, the reason why he was crying is he said that subhanAllah, when a grandmother was making dua for 6 months for something which ostensibly seemed impossible to achieve. Think about it. In the middle of a village, don't have the funds, don't have the contacts, have absolutely no means of getting to that doctor, but she's making dua because she knows that Allah is listening. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I'm close, subhanAllah. And the doctor says that in order to accept the dua of this woman in distress, Allah, first of all, stopped my plane, caused a thunderstorm, stopped my car, and made it such that I take shelter at her home. And then Allah accepted her dua. And then by this story, he tells others that, look, whenever you feel there's a boulder blocking your path, there's no one listening to you, there's no one willing to assist you, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening. And it comes back to this concept of, we don't call prayer our conversation with Allah. Our conversation with Allah is a munajah. And what's a munajah? It's a huddled whisper. When you want to confide in somebody, you huddle and you whisper to that individual. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these final days to increase our love and connection with Him. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when He says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that we don't take it with a grain of salt. Rather, we truly and deeply believe and have conviction that when Allah says He's close, He's close. If a grandmother who's financially unable to support and treat her child, grandchild, can make that dua, Allah can use His army, thunderstorms, stop planes just for that to happen, then what challenges we have in our lives, however difficult, Allah will make it easy. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless one and all and grant us the ability to make sincere dua and repentance before the days of Ramadan come to an end. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.